Hi, this is Billy Vardaman. I'm joined today by Charles and Sherry Mitchell. I'm here today to interview them just about their past, sort of as a birthday present to their daughter, Jericho, as she's my wife and they're my in-laws, but mostly just to learn a little bit about their life so that we can record it for our future generations and record some of their stories that I know they have. So I'll turn it over to Sherry right now.
My name is Sherry, and to talk about my childhood, I was born in Gonzales, Texas, and I was born to a very sweet, hardworking mother who became a single mom when my parents separated. She inspired me to work hard, and we grew up very poor, but it didn't feel like it because I knew that she loved me unconditionally and told me every day and gave me a kiss every day. And poverty's not a sin, and it's not anything to be ashamed of. And I know that people can survive it and hopefully pass on to their child a better life. And that was my goal, to pass on any better kind of life and a higher standard of living to my children. I grew up pretty happy and started working around the neighborhood when I was very young, about 8. And I would run errands and go into little old ladies' homes who had ornate furniture that they couldn't get down on the floor and dust. The legs on dining room tables or end tables, and I shoveled dirt and I picked green beans, I gleaned, cleaned chicken houses, and at the age of 12 got a job as a waitress in my best friend's mom's cafe. I loved that. I loved it a lot. Earning my own money and not putting a burden on my mother meant a lot to me, and I tried to continue to do that through my teens. I don't really have a whole lot of stories other than the fact that despite the poverty, we learned to appreciate the small things. Ice cream from the Dairy Queen, my mother taking us trick-or-treating, Christmas with my mother, who would cook and bake whatever we wanted, and different scenarios like that. I managed to survive childhood illnesses and learn to toughen up a little bit. Shots weren't my favorite as a child. I guess they're not for any child. Graduated from high school, went to college. I didn't get to finish. My greatest joy has been our children, and they make me laugh. That is, they're the most amusing things in the world. And I say things because sometimes they're a little strange. Jericho especially, I'm talking about you, was creative and inquisitive and opinionated from a very early age, and her big sister just tolerated her and tried to take care of her and babysat her. When Jericho was a newborn, she didn't want anybody else to hold her except for me and her big sister. And her big sister would run home from the school bus down our private road every afternoon and then come and take care of Jericho so I could sleep, because she just was not a sleeping baby. 20-minute power naps at a time. Oh, she wore me out. Your turn.
Okay. Well, I was born in Weezer, Idaho. Grew up there. I had a good life. had a wonderful mother and father. I had two brothers and a little sister. One of my brothers has passed away, and one lives in Portland, Oregon. He's 10 years older than I am. And I turned 69 last week, so he's 79, pushing 80 already. But I had a good life. My dad always took care of us. He was a contractor. They always lived in a fairly good home, and he built a better home every time he built one. And I remember that we lived in three homes that he built. And I went to high school, grade school, high school, just had a real good life. They gave us a good life in that small town of 5,000 people. Things that happened in my life while I was there, well, I played football, enjoyed that. My folks would enjoy coming out on a Friday night to watch me play, and I enjoyed having them there. By then, both my brothers were grown and moved away, and it's just me and my little sister at home. Things that happened when I was a freshman in high school, I was hunting with some of my friends, and one of them shot me. I remember my dad was working, and they took me to the hospital, and I remember my dad, I was in the emergency room, and I can remember him coming in and him saying, "Hey, you got a shot boy in here?" And yeah, they brought that him to me. That was one thing that happened in my life that sticks out a whole lot. Another thing that really sticks out in my mind is the fact that when my dad was, I don't know how old he was, I was probably about 13, and he got real ill, and he should have died. They called my brother home from the army. They told him that your father's not going to live, so they sent him home. And that was back when they wouldn't let little kids in the hospital. And thinking about it, I was about 11 at that time. And they wouldn't let me and my little sister into the room with my dad. Although he was dying, they wouldn't let us in. We had to stand at the door and look in. And I remember the preacher from Mom and Dad's church came, and they anointed my dad with oil, and they prayed over him, and he was healed. And in that instant, he was healed. And the doctors could not explain it. They just did not figure out what happened. But anyway, my dad lived, and he lived quite a few more years. And that I do know that God does miracles. I learned that from that. God still does miracles. Yeah, let's see. And that's about the most exciting things that happened up to me, but to about 18. And from there, I don't know, maybe we want to go a little further into life or whatever, Billy, whatever. What should we do?
Sure. I guess as we get pushed on from your childhood, can you kind of both set up, I guess, Charles, what led you down to Texas, and kind of set up your life up until the point that you each got married to each other?
Okay. Well, when I came to Texas, it was one of the lowest points of my life. I had recently got divorced, and it was a bad divorce. I don't want to say that I had a bad woman on a recording, but I had a bad woman, and that was just a fact. But anyway, she ran me off, and I had to get away from her. And I had a friend down here that I worked with in Idaho, and he said that he went to Texas, and he called me, and he told me, "Come to Texas." So I thought, well, I got to get away from here. And like I said, it was one of the hardest things I've ever done. I left two of my boys up there with their mom, and it was heartbreaking. And I got on the bus, came to Texas. I had two suitcases when I got here, and that's all I had. Left everything else behind. And moved in with my friend who was living with this him and his wife were living with this woman. I didn't know who she was at the time, but she was good enough to let me share her home and live in and stay in one of their bedrooms. And from there, I kind of fell in love with that woman. And I think one night we went out, and I told her that I was in love with her and I wanted to marry her. She couldn't give me an answer right then. I had to ask her three times before she said yes. I told her the third time, this is the last time I'm going to ask. And so she did say yes, and I'm so grateful for that. And from there on, God just blessed me in Texas. And I've been just blessed beyond belief. And that's my story. I'll let Sherry tell her story, how she sees it.
Well, his friends that lived with me, I was single mom, went through a divorce myself, and I won't go into that. And I was what could be considered hippie-ish. So having a house full of people that I wasn't blood related to never bothered me in a bit. I had my own master bedroom and bath, so the rest of the house was their run. But they brought this guy in on Labor Day, 1980, and I shook hands with him and went to my room. And I didn't want anything to do with any men. I did not date anyone from work. I didn't date, period. I just worked. I had three jobs, two part-time and one full-time. And my roommate watched my daughter. And that was great so that I could work. I learned that if I just retreated to my room, everything would work out. So anytime he was there at the house, and anytime he came into the living room or the kitchen, I would go to my room. You know, I wasn't being unfriendly. I just didn't want to deal with anything. And finally, on his birthday, we went out with him and tried to make sure he had a happy birthday, because he was really a crushed individual when I met him. And we found out we had the same sense of humor, loved Buster Keaton's silent movies, the slapstick cracked us up, and I knew that spiritually that he was close to God. He prayed, and he had his Bible, and I prayed. I prayed, God, you got to help me raise this little girl. I'm not going to be able to do this by myself and do it right. I'm not my mother. And so God sent me Chuck, because he figured Jamie needed a break. So he kept asking me to marry him. He asked me twice, and I told him that I didn't really think I'm going to go that route again. And he says, well, I'll ask you the third time. I turned to him to tell him, well, then I guess not. And out came yes, and I don't even know why. And then he wanted to know when. And I asked him, can't we be engaged for a little while? And he said, no. So, 3 months after I met him, I was married to him. And I really didn't know what happened. It had to be God working in the whole situation. And we've had our ups and downs, but we've had a lot of fun with our kids. And we try to look at everything with a sense of humor. We always had faith God would pull us through, and he always has, and I bet he's sure tired of it, because we sure call on him a lot. And I appreciate our kids. I appreciate their spouses and love all of them. They're all our kids, and grateful that three of our children are very happily married. And I just love that. And I guess just the joy of being around my grandkids, too. I never thought I would be a grandparent the rate things were going, but Josh has 5 children. So that's pretty great, only they're about 2,000 miles away, so we don't get to see them. But we talk to them. And send birthday cards. And then there's Jericho's two children, which are as goofy as she is. And it's fun to watch almost the same kind of mentality and fun and giggles that I saw in her. We don't know where Jericho came from because we are such flawed individuals as a couple. And she was always, her standards were always so high. So we figured that's God working through her. And I enjoy my life. I hope I have a lot more of it and in good health. And I hope for the best future for our grandkids. And you want to say something?
I don't really got any questions.
Sure.
Ask me a question.
So can you tell me about the day that Jericho was born? Was there anything that stuck out to you about that day?
Well, that day I'd been out with a friend and we'd had a little bit to drink. I came home.
Christmas shopping.
Yeah, well, I guess we called it Christmas shopping. Anyway, so I came home and I think I went to sleep. I went to bed. And Sherry, finally, she woke me up. She had a hard time waking me up. And she's saying, I'm going to have a baby. And so she finally got me out of bed and I had to get her to the hospital. And the friend I went with, he had this big pickup. He was one of them ones, a tall pickup. You had to step up on the running board to get in that truck. So I had this pregnant woman I was trying to shove in. He had us blocked in, and I couldn't get out. I had to use his pickup. So I got his keys, and I had to shove this woman up into that truck and finally got her to the hospital. And she was in there for a while. I mean, quite a while before the doctor decided that they were going to do a cesarean. And while we were at the hospital, my folks called. And our friend who was still there, he answered the phone, and they asked where we were, and he didn't really know for sure. He said, I think they went to have a baby. So when Jericho was born, we named her Jericho Dawn Wagner Mitchell. And Wagner was for my mom's maiden name. And I called my mom and told her that, and I know it touched her heart. So. And that's what I remember, basically, except sitting there with Sherry and going through the labor pains. It hurt me as much as it did her. What do you think, Mom?
Well, it was awful hard getting you awake.
Yeah, I know.
And I called the doctor because he told me to call him when I went into labor. And he said, well, how far apart are the pains? I said, they're every 15 minutes. He said, get to the hospital. I said, well, okay. So I did everything but throw a bucket of water in his face and tell him, we need to go to the hospital. Doctor's convinced that the baby's coming because my water had broken. And called my mom, and she's very nervous because I almost didn't make it through delivery with my first child. So her and my brother got in the car, and they were rushing over to Seguin. And I had to call my best friend because she would have been furious with me because she made me swear I would call her. So they beat us to the hospital, and she had said, asked me what had taken so long, and I had changed into every pair of maternity pants I had because it was like a tidal wave of water. I ran out of clothes. So I got to the hospital, and Chuck was sitting in the room with me, and he kept asking me, you're not calling me bad names, you're not yelling, you're not moaning, you're not asking for pain pills. And he said, why not? And I said, it hurts too much to talk. And that was the truth. And I didn't think I was ever going to have this baby. And there she was. I didn't get to see her till the next day because they knocked me out for the C-section. But it seems to me I kind of remember that I think they brought some student nurses through. And I thought to myself, I'm laying here in all my glory, barely covered up at all, and there are people gawking at me. And I don't know if I dreamed that or if that actually happened. But my best friend came in there and asked me if I was going to sleep all day. And when they brought me Jericho, after I was finally getting awake enough to be coherent and know where I was at, they wrapped her in pink. And she was just beautiful. I've never seen a baby that pretty.
She was.
And they told me it was because she was a C-section and she didn't get all scrunched up.
Probably. I know when they held her up and showed her to me, I said, well, I didn't know what her, if it was a boy or a girl yet. And I looked at her and I knew right then and there, that's a girl. She had that face. Yeah, she's a girl.
And she was so cute. When we took her home, she was born on the 19th and I got to come home the 23rd of December. They told me if I could heal fast enough, I could go home for Christmas because they used to keep you in the hospital an absurd length of time. And I told the doctor, you come back here and take these staples out because I'm going to be healed. And he just looked at me and laughed. And when he came back on the 23rd, I was healed enough to take the staples out. And when we brought Jericho home, they had put her in a big old Christmas stocking. That was her blanket. And we still have the stocking. We've got pictures everywhere of her in that stocking put aside. And it meant a lot to me to have her around Christmas because it was like my own personal Christmas present. And I didn't want to share her with anybody. I never thought I'd have another child, and she was just perfect.
All right.
Okay.
Well, I guess moving on from there, do we have any fun stories about Jericho's childhood? I know you've shared a few about Jamie helping out. Just basically whatever you guys want to tell about her childhood.
One Christmas, we gave her a play tent that you could set up like a little house. And we put in miniature play appliances that would fit in there. And Jamie came down the hall, and Jericho was only 2, so this was a pretty big deal for her. She was tiny. And Jamie came in, and she goes, Mom, you got that play tent set up as a cute little playhouse, don't you? And it had little chairs in it and everything and a little table. And I said, yeah. I said, is she playing it? And she said, oh, yeah, she's playing in it, but what's the one thing it doesn't have? And I said, did I leave something out? She said, oh, you left something out. I said, well, what? And she looked at me and she went, a bathroom. I said, oh, did she have an accident? She said, no, she came and got one of our bowls. And she
pooped in the bowl.
she took a dump in the bowl.
She was neat.
I said, oh, my word. Oh, my gosh. So I told Chuck, get the camera. This is one of those moments. It's a Kodak moment. So we went down the hall. And sure enough, there's one of my bowls with poop in it lying down the side. She wasn't a good shot, but she tried. So I picked it up, and Jamie asked me, her big sister, what are you going to do with that bowl? And I told her I was going to throw it away because I did not want to think about eating out of one of those bowls that had been through that. And we cleaned the carpet a little bit. We didn't fuss at her. We just told her that was just the play and pretending not to really do anything. So that's one of our stories.
Yeah. Jericho was a crazy little kid. She would always try to talk no matter what. Maybe she couldn't get the words right. It didn't matter. She was going to talk. That's where we came up with kibub. If she wants some ketchup, she called it kibub, and that, we still call it kibub today. But she was a crazy little kid. Well, one thing that impressed me about Jericho, when we were fortunate enough to serve the good Lord in the church, we did it for 18 years. And she was little. She got saved young. And, you know, we had the child ministry, I guess, the bus ministry, and we did most of our ministry in the barrios and the poor kids. And Jericho, she just jumped right in to help. I mean, I always thought that was something pretty cool because, you know, we love those little kids. And you would have thought that some kids would have got jealous, but not Jericho. She just jumped right in and helped us with it. And that always impressed me about her so much when she was so small. Really impressed me. And she liked to go to the dump. I know that. We had fun going to the dump. A lot of that, too.
Yeah.
But yeah, she was a crazy little kid.
Yeah, and she called it a venture, meaning an adventure. And she would tell me over the phone, because I worked all the time at that time, that her and Daddy went on a venture. And I can't imagine going to the dump being an adventure, but to her it was. But one of the things also, talking about her spirituality, that impressed me about her was anytime someone famous died that we heard on the news and her father and I would react, oh, really? Oh, that's sad. She would ask us, was he saved? That was important to her. Was he saved? And I don't know of too many little kids that would ask that question.
No.
And we told her that we would pray for them and we hoped that they were saved, but that we didn't know their personal life at that point.
She was a good kid.
Yeah.
One of the best. One of the best.
Yeah. And she loved to talk. I'd go pick her daddy up at work, and it'd be just nighttime because he'd come in off a train derailment, be exhausted. So I'd drive out there to pick him up. And when she was 3 years old, she was in the back seat. And I hadn't seen him for like 4 days. So there was a lot to tell him about what's going on and catching him up. And Jericho was just rattling her little mouth in the back seat. You couldn't even see her.
Yeah, it was dark.
It was too dark, but you could hear her. And her father and I just kept talking over her and kept talking over her and kept talking over her. And finally, we heard a voice out of the back seat go, "Well, fine, just nor me." That was typical of Jericho.
Yeah.
We know, so that's another word in our vocabulary. We nor people.
Yeah.
So she was goofy. We cracked up all the way home. And
another question.
Another question.
Okay.
All right, so moving on from there, what about high school and the college? Anything you guys want to share about that as far as, you know, when she picked A&M, did you guys have a preference or just excited? Or?
I had a preference, and it was MIT. They had been corresponding with her, and her dad couldn't stand the thought of her leaving the state.
Now, I thought she should stay around here.
So when she chose A&M, I was pretty happy because that would have been
statewide
my choice.
She went to the campus when she was in high school, and she fell in love with A&M. She liked it up there. So we pretty much knew that's where she was going to go. And another thing, the good Lord blessed us with, where I worked, blessed her with a $25,000 scholarship. And God's taken care of Jericho a lot in her life. And
it was the first time they ever
that was the first
awarded.
One, ever awarded that much money to anybody. And Jericho got it. I'm just proud of her. So.
Yeah, and they said in the letter when they sent it, the information and the acknowledgement that it was a hands-down decision.
And in high school, she was in the band, and we went to band
contests
everywhere around. No, I tell you what, it was every, it seemed like about every other weekend we were running to this town or that town or this town or that town.
Sometimes sitting through storms.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
With umbrellas.
One time they were going to Rice University where the band, And the buses got there late. I don't know why they were late. But anyway, they put all the band on the buses, and the buses took off, and it was raining like crazy. And then those things, we were trying to keep up with the buses, and they were driving 90 miles an hour. And that's no lie. I thought we were all going to die on the way there. But they made it in time, so I remember that one.
Oh, no, they got penalized because those buses were late.
I thought they got there on time.
Yeah, they came in third, but it was because of the penalty.
Oh,
but it was raining so hard it created that rain fog, and I went to the band director and said, "We're taking our daughter home. She's not getting back on that bus." And nobody argued with us.
But high school years were good too.
Yeah. Well, Jamie just was never. She was in band, and but she it just didn't catch her interest. And one thing we were proud of with Jamie was that she was. As a freshman, she ran long distance track. And as a freshman, she came in like 13th against seniors and juniors that were state champions. So they were really impressed with her and wanted her to be their next track star because she was so young. And she quit for the simple fact they made her lift weights and bulk up. And her musculature, she got from her father, and she looked like two huge boxes with a little tiny waist. She was so muscled up. It used to make Chuck nervous. It's like, I don't know, the Hulk. So finally she quit, and it took her, I think, 3 or 4 years before her body got back down to what she considered normal. So...
Okay, next question.
All right, so now that me and Jericho are parents, do you guys have any advice for us as parents? Because you guys obviously did a great job with her and Jamie, and you know, you guys are a great model for us, so we would love to raise our kids in a similar fashion. And second part of that question, any family traditions, you know, either that we do now or maybe some that are past that you'd like to revive that you would like for us to carry on with our children?
Well,
I don't think we have any family traditions, to tell the truth. But as far as advice, the one thing I learned is always keep God in your life. Make sure He's there. And if you do that, things will go all right, no matter what. No matter what, it'll go all right. It'll go the way it should. And that's the one thing I advise you to always do. And that's my advice.
And tell your children every day you love them. Tell them every time you leave, anytime you hang up a phone on them, tell them whatever is going on in their life, that they're not just loved. We used to tell our children, you're not just loved, you're adored. And give them a kiss when they'll let you, because sometimes they go through phases where they think that's kind of icky. And watch out what kind of nicknames you give them, because they grow up and get stuck with them. So to the point where I have to say her name when I'm talking about her, because she had a nickname and she would kill me if I even said it out loud. So whenever I talk about Jericho, I have to say Jericho to prevent myself from lapsing back into her nickname. So.
That's funny. All right. Well, as we kind of wrap up here, we've got about, I don't know, 5 minutes or so left. Is there anything that you want Jericho to know without a doubt on her 36th birthday?
Well, she knows we love her. And always will. We love all our kids.
Mm-hmm.
I hope they all know that. I hope they all realize the fact that we love them. And we're proud of her. Very mm-hmm. proud of her. She's done well in life, and we're grateful for that. We really are. We really are. And I wanted to share something about my parents. I know that when my dad got sick, we lived well. He had a boat, couple of cars, but he lost everything. And so when I was 13, we ended up their friends let my dad have some land, and we put up a tent. So when I was in junior high, I was living in a tent. And you can hear all kinds of jokes about that, you know, living in a tent when you're 13.
While they were building a house.
Yeah, well, they were working on it. But what impressed me was the fact that they had lost everything, my mom and dad, but they had each other. And I noticed that they'd get through anything, long as they had each other. And that's the way I feel about our marriage, too. And I hope you feel that way about yours. If you have each other, you can get through anything.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to share that.
That's true. That's reminiscent of my grandparents. They were really tight, very loving. Little Irish couple. We all look like elves in this side of the family. So Jericho kind of shook that off with the Mitchell blood intake, but the rest of us pretty much look like elves.
Yeah, look like Irishmen.
So.
My mama told me don't marry an Irishman. She did. I'm not kidding. And I married one anyway.
Well, I guess we'll sign off with that. Jericho, we just want you to know that we all love you very much. And that we're all happy that we're part of your life. And I guess that's it. So anything, last words for y'all?
No, just that we love her. Hope she has a great birthday.
Absolutely. Kiss the babies. Say hello to your brothers. They always like to hear from baby sister. And you've got some good brothers. I wish we could have had them more and more and let them live with us. But that didn't work out. But still, we're a tight family. So y'all stay close and kiss your husband because he's worked real hard on this.
Well, thank you. All right. We love you, babe. Bye.